Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and today's episode, I'm going to be going in-depth on the magnificent win this Michigan Wolverines team had over Ohio State this weekend, clinching the Big Ten East for the first time ever and beating Ohio State for the first time in 10 years. I can't tell you guys enough. As a Michigan fan my entire life and as a current student at this university, that was the greatest feeling I had ever felt, being at that game in the snow, running onto the field, recognizing and realizing that we had just beaten Ohio State. There were Ohio State fans next to me that we were telling to go home. There were people all around us. We were hugging. We were cheering. We were clapping. If you weren't there, you missed a game of a lifetime. Now, Michigan, it's weird to say, but our season's not done yet. We have a lot of football that can be played going forward for the rest of the year. We have Iowa this weekend. We have a potential college football playoff semifinal game and a possible college football playoff national championship game ahead of us. But first things first, the game. Now, the first thing I should talk about here, and I think it's no surprise to anybody listening to this podcast, is Hassan Haskins. This game was all Hassan Haskins. The offensive game plan going in was giving the ball to Hassan Haskins. And Haskins, you know, followed through with this. He could have, you know, gotten tackled for loss consistently and only averaged 2 yards a carry. But that wasn't the case. Hassan Haskins went off. He ran for 169 yards on 28 attempts and had 5 touchdowns against Ohio State. He is the first player in history to rush for 5 touchdowns against Ohio State. That stat is crazy. But that's not all. Michigan threw the ball twice in the entire second half. They trusted Haskins with the game, and he followed through. I mean, there was a point where Michigan was only up by a touchdown on a consistent basis going through the second half, and they could have just said, you know what, we're only going to throw the ball now. Running the ball is not working. We have to get down the field. But they stuck with Haskins, and he did not disappoint them. He kept running the ball. There were some big, big downs where he broke loose. You know, Michigan was only up, you know, 10-7 on a crucial drive on 4th-and-1, and you know, they gave the ball to Haskins, and Haskins got the first down. There were a few situations like that. I just have to say, you know, Haskins was so impressive. The offensive line just dominated through and through against Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State really got even any pressure when we were throwing the ball against them. And of course, in the rushing game, you can look at the numbers and say that's a lot of the running back, but everyone knows, if you're a true football fan, that a good rushing attack all starts with the offensive line. So Hassan Haskins was a beast on the field, and I think that was a big, big, big part to Michigan's win over Ohio State. But again, it wasn't just Hassan Haskins. Donovan Edwards did his job. He made some big catches. He also had a big catch on the sideline that was called back incomplete. That was a beautiful catch that I think any wide receiver would have struggled with in college football. So the fact that Donovan Edwards is really now emerging in the pass game is really promising going into the upcoming weeks against Iowa and then possibly against a Cincinnati, Georgia, Alabama type team. The fact that they have to prepare now for Hassan Haskins, Blake Corum, of course, which, you know, I was really great seeing him back on the field. But even Donovan Edwards as a pass catcher is great for Michigan and is also just going to put these defenses at a huge disadvantage. But again, speaking back now on Blake Corum, it was awesome to see him back in the game. I know he did look like he pulled his hamstring on that large run, but we possibly might not have won that game if he didn't break loose for that big run where he pulled his hamstring. You know, that play alone was a huge crucial part to the game late in the game that got us down the field and into the red zone. You know, and then also let's also recognize Cade McNamara. I mean, Cade McNamara had that one interception in the first quarter, and in my mind, I said, here we go again. This is Michigan football. They're going to choke against Ohio State. This is not going to go well. And Cade McNamara, props to him, took that, went back to the sideline, regrouped, went back out on the field, and was flawless for the rest of the game. He was throwing dimes left and right. He was, putting the ball where it needed to be. He was converting on fourth downs, third downs, first downs even. I was really impressed. Part of the positive rushing attack has to do with the positive passing attack from a team. If Cade McNamara does not convert all those plays and is overthrowing his guys, the defense can step up and load more guys into the box that will then prevent Hassan Haskins from getting his 160 plus yards. But the fact that Cade McNamara was accurate proved that that Ohio State had to be ready for a pass. For a passing down on any down, and they had to play back, which then allowed Hassan Haskins to then torch the defensive line in the secondary as well when he was running the ball. And then even just sticking with the passing game too, J.J. McCarthy, he had a fair share of snaps in this Ohio State game. That's a big position to be put in if you're a freshman for Michigan to go in against Ohio State as a backup quarterback and be told, run the read option and get the first down for us, or throw the ball even. That was big that we could convert on those downs that we didn't necessarily get to see all season. So that was just super, super impressive. I remember distinctly watching J.J. McCarthy. He had a play action rollout where he was looking to run the ball, and the entire Ohio State defense crashed to him, and they were all looking to tackle him because they thought it was a read option. But then J.J. pulled back and threw a dart to Roman Wilson on the sideline. And right there, in my mind, was, wow, we could actually win this game. Because the fact that it wasn't just clicking for Cade, but even J.J. was throwing accurate passes, and the defense just looked so confused and out of sorts, and they had no idea what they were doing. Michigan looked to take control the entire game, and that really showed. So that's what my take is on the offense. But if we move now to the defense, this defense was also a big integral part to the win against Ohio State. I can never speak about enough positive things for Aiden Hutchinson. This guy has been the heart and soul of not just the defense, but the entire team. As a fan sitting in the stands, when I'm seeing Aiden Hutchinson get excited and hype and hyping up the crowd, I got excited and hype and gave myself more energy in the freezing cold. So I can't imagine what his energy and his leadership does to the actual players that are on the field at the same time as him. You can tell that he has a winning mentality, and all he wants to do is positive things for this football team. And it really shows on this defensive front. Aiden Hutchinson had 3 sacks against Ohio State, which now is a school record for 13 sacks in a single season for any Michigan defensive player. That alone is mind-blowing. The amount of magnificent defensive players this Michigan football team has had in history, that Aiden Hutchinson has now the leader in the school for number of sacks in a season. That is unbelievable. And let's not forget, David Ajabo, he got pressure on the quarterback consistently against Ohio State. C.J. Stroud did not look like himself. I think it really hurt his Heisman chances personally because he was constantly getting pressured, which then caused him to throw the ball aridly and was really out of sorts. And just the entire offense was dysfunctional once he started not playing well. There were 6 false starts against Ohio State, partly due to the crowd, but also C.J. Stroud just did not know what he was doing and looked like a deer in headlights. And that just then follows through with the entire offense, and these mistakes start happening where you're having holding calls, false starts, and a lot of just mind-headed mistakes that you should not be having if you're an Ohio State player in a football game. This defensive secondary was great. Besides Smith and Jigba, who was, of course, their leading receiver with 11 receptions, you held Chris Olave to a very few yards. You held, Wilson to very few yards. It was, a great, great game around. You could tell that although Ohio State was catching these passes, and there were a few magnificent catches throughout the game, none of them were as big of plays where they were touchdowns or they were, momentum shifters to the point where Michigan could double down and got those on those third downs and stop this team. So I was really, really impressed. Another stat that I see right now, C.J. Stroud had 6 carries for negative 30 yards. Wow. That is crazy to me. C.J. Stroud is a very mobile quarterback. I mean, if he wanted to tuck the ball and run, he could do that very easily. The fact that Michigan held him to negative 30 yards carrying just shows that the momentum was in their hands consistently throughout the entire game, and it was going to go their way. And then the last part of this magnificent win, special teams. Jake Moody is arguably one of the best kickers in college football, and I am so impressed with him. Brad Robbins, every time he punted the ball, it felt like it was an NFL caliber punt. The ball was traveling 60, 70 yards, landing inside the 20-yard line, 10-yard line. Those plays matter if you look at it stacking up throughout the game. When you get a punt inside the 10-yard line, then that forces Ohio State to go down the field away in this crazy atmosphere in the stadium, 90 yards to score a touchdown. And they couldn't. They could not score. And I think partly that was because of special teams as well. Jake Moody was consistent. You know, he made his extra points. And although he didn't necessarily have to convert many field goals in this game, all season you knew that if he had to go out on that field and kick a field goal, he was going to make it. And hey, extra points matter. I mean, he kicked 6 extra points and made all of them. And you can't necessarily say that for all the college football teams in America. So that was really impressive alone. So just every aspect of the game, you know, offense, defense, special teams worked in Michigan's favor. And that was the first time I had seen all season, maybe the first half of the Michigan State game you could count. But since they didn't win that game, I can't really say that for the entire game. This was the first time that you saw for 60 minutes this Michigan football team play as one cohesive group that could win against any team in America. And I was beyond impressed. So a few other things I want to touch on. You know, of course, this is huge for Jim Harbaugh. There's a lot of talks about would he be this coach going forward for this Michigan football team. I think personally he has proven myself wrong. He has proven every Michigan fan wrong. He's even proven the players wrong that he is a coach here to stay. He can win the big game. He can win football games and take this team far. And I know I'm saying this before we have won anything, but given the energy and the positivity of not just the fans, but the players that I've spoken to, I am so excited to see the potential for this team, not just this year, but going forward over the next 4 or 5 years. There's a lot going on now in college football with a lot of coaching changes, a lot of recruiting. And I will cover that in another episode because I feel like I should keep covering this game today. But there is so much going on where Michigan's football future looks very bright. And I am, for the first time in a very long time, really optimistic and excited to see what this Michigan football team can bring. So now, if we look going forward against Iowa, Iowa is no small task. Iowa's ranked for a reason. They were ranked second in the country for a while for a reason. There is a lot to take in consideration for this Iowa team. The first thing I want to touch on, Iowa is a defensive-minded team. You have to go through their great defense. Now, again, that could be difficult. Iowa has a strong front. They have a great secondary. They get a lot of turnovers. And, you know, that could pose a lot of issues for this Michigan football team. So I think the number one thing right now at this point of the week is if Michigan can control the run game again, I think that will be a big positive for this Michigan football team in beating Iowa. Number two, Iowa's offense. Iowa's offense has been really inconsistent this year. You know, they almost lost to Nebraska last week, but they did put up 35 points against a good Nebraska defense. So in other weeks, they've only put up 10, 17 points. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how this defense plays, because if you can stop Iowa's offense and then also start exposing Iowa's defense, for sure Michigan should take this game. But if it comes to a point where it's a shootout and Iowa's defense is getting turnovers, they're stopping us on Haskins from getting really any momentum, and their offense is moving on our defense, then that's what worries me. So I think this game, believe it or not, expect it to be a lot like against Nebraska when Michigan played Nebraska a few weeks ago. Solid defense, doesn't have an amazing offense but can surprise you. So you'll have to just play the game right. You have to treat this like another Ohio State, another national championship game. Go into it, get your business done, and bring us to the college football playoff for the first time ever. So again, with that, thank you everybody for listening. That is my take on this Michigan-Ohio State game. Again, I cannot tell you all how excited I was being at that game, watching, witnessing for my eyes what was happening. It was one of the greatest feelings I had ever felt in my life, and I hope you all felt just as excited as me. So please feel free, stick around, listen to more episodes. There's a lot of recruiting news coming out, and I hope to see you guys soon. Thank you.